Welcome to the Nobody Guide to Life, where we provide tips and tools for personal growth, personal development, and your spiritual journey that you can use right now in your everyday life. I'm J.A. Plosker. You can always find out more at thenobodyguidetolife.com, and you can check us out on YouTube and find episodes of this show and videos at the Nobody Guide to Life YouTube channel. Thank you for joining us. If you're on a path of personal and spiritual growth, you're probably going to have new and interesting experiences. And for some of you, that means that over time, you'll develop a message. And maybe after a while, you'll decide you want to get that message out there to help others. It's natural to want to share, and it's natural to want to help others on their journey. But have you thought about the most effective way to get your message out? Today's guest is an expert in that area, and he helps people create messaging every single day. Ralph Brogdon is the best-selling author of Irresistible Marketing, 4 Psychological Strategies for Getting People to Buy Without You Having to Sell Them. He's also a publisher, marketer, and media consultant at ralphbrogdon.com, whose work has been featured on CBS, NBC, ABC, The Huffington Post, and more. And he's a producer for Business Innovators Radio Network and the host of Rebelpreneur Radio on WCKG 102.3 FM in Chicago. And his mission is to help you with your message. Ralph believes a powerful message can get people to make the connections they need in order to take the actions you want them to take. And hopefully, that message is something positive and powerful that can help people transform their lives. At ralphbrogdon.com, he provides information on how to maximize messaging impact through creating an inspiring message. Welcome to the show, Ralph.
Thanks for having me. It's a real pleasure to be here.
Well, it's wonderful to have you on the show. And what you do is so interesting because I know from your background that you have a strong interest in these areas of personal and spiritual growth, and you've been able to marry that interest with your background in psychology and with marketing. And so I'm wondering if you can tell us about your journey of helping people master their message. What areas of personal and spiritual growth were important to you and brought you to this life mission?
That's an interesting question because I have always been interested in human behavior. And I've also always been interested in building my own business and figuring out how to make a living and hopefully to make an impact and make a difference in the world as well. I started out selling advertising, and my first business selling advertising, I was 18 years old. I had no experience with selling at all. And the first prospect that I called upon purchased an $800 ad from me.
Wow.
Just like that.
Wow.
And at the time, this was 30 years ago, that was the most money I had ever held in my hand in at one time. I mean, that more than covered my rent. That was like 2 months worth of rent at the time. And I thought, I'm going to make $1 billion selling advertising. So I went home, quit my job, and went out the next day to sell more ads. And the next ad that I went to sell, the next prospect, was an auto mechanic. And I talk about this in my book, Irresistible Marketing. I showed up at this garage to sell advertising, and the business owner, the mechanic, I saw his legs sticking out from under the car. So there he was, and I cleared my throat, announced my presence, and he kind of huffed a little bit and rolled out from under the car and stood up, and he was covered with oil and grease and dirty because he's working on the car. And, you know, there I am with my suit, my tie, and my little clipboard, you know. And I gave him what is probably the worst sales pitch in the history of sales pitches. I said, "Mr. Prospect, I just came by today to see if you might be interested in doing a little bit of advertising." And of course, he said, "Not interested," and turned his back on me and rolled back under the car. And so I had two revelations at that moment. First, I'm not going to make $1 billion in advertising because some people say no, right? But then the next revelation I had was more in terms of a question. Why is it that some people buy and some people do not buy?
Right.
Why was it so easy for me to sell the first person with basically no sales pitch. And then the second person, he says he's not interested. That started me on a path of trying to understand consumer behavior. Why do people buy the things that they buy? I needed to know that so that I could pay my bills. That's the only way that I could earn a living. That metamorphosed into an interest in human behavior. Mm. And since most consumers are humans, it makes sense, right? It makes sense to tie psychology and marketing together. Why do people do what they do? That's what drives my interest in psychology. But in terms of a spiritual journey, I even though I was successful, I went on to build a business. I went to New York and did some copywriting and marketing strategy for an agency up there. But I became frustrated and burned out with marketing in general because my whole attitude at the time was, I'm trying to sell things that people don't really want or need. Right. And that was a blockage in my mind that prevented me from really tapping into the spiritual side of marketing. And that's when I made a very simple discovery and a revelation that it's not about selling products and services that people don't need. It's about selling ideas that will change people's lives for the better.
Right, right.
And that's where I became interested in, well, how do I do that? Strategic communication. That is where my graduate education is. I got an undergraduate degree in psychology and marketing. I went on to do a master's program in strategic communication at American University in Washington, D.C. So my interest evolved from why do people buy the things they buy to why do people behave and do the things that they do to why do people say the things that they say. And what I realized is this really ties in all behavior because behavior is based on belief. Beliefs can shift based on communication. Mm. We're not going to persuade people by twisting their arm or holding a gun to their head. So persuasion has to happen because of the ideas that we communicate to people. Great examples all around. Obama, Winston Churchill, right. Martin Luther King Jr. They were able to shift people's beliefs based on how they communicated with other people. We can even shift our beliefs based on how we communicate with ourselves.
Right, right.
Self-talk. You can talk to yourself, talk yourself into a mindset of defeat, or you can talk yourself into a positive mindset. But beliefs lead to behaviors. That was the main distinction that I began to see that I could take strategic communication, mastering a message, and use that message to transform lives and change the world for the better. That's how I made the spiritual connection to marketing and to messaging. And that's how I'm able to communicate and help others to do the same.
That's so important. And I think for people listening, if we think about, just take a look around you right now at some of the products that you use, and you'll probably see that a lot of them, so your dish soap. Maybe you bought it because the label says something like it's clear. You know, that's the big word. It doesn't have color in it. So your mind associates that with a form of purity and you're okay putting that on your hands. Or if we take a look at the car we drive, we may have bought it because it supports a belief we have about safety. Can you give us an example of how you've helped your clients shift a belief to promote sales through a message? Do you have some examples of how your system works?
Absolutely. And I'll give you a soft example first, because if we can buy into this concept that what we're trying to do is sell ideas, not sell products and services, even the soap that you're talking about, the idea behind the soap, you know, what is it? Is it 99.9% pure? Is that the idea? Otherwise, it's just a commodity. You walk into Walmart, you just grab a bar of soap. But it's about the idea behind the soap, and then it's about the belief that supports that idea. So I'll give you an example from my master's degree. One of my projects was trying to figure out how do we prevent hundreds of children and even thousands who are injured every year because they have been left alone in a hot car. And every summer you hear about this, And most of them are infants and children under the age of 12, or I should say under the age of two. I mean, so they have no choice, no say-so. They're left in the car. And so what is the behavior that we're trying to target? Well, we want people, caregivers, parents, to stop leaving their child alone in a hot car. Well, we can't just tell them this. What is the belief that drives that behavior? Well, the belief is it's only for a few minutes. It's not going to hurt them. I'm a caring, loving parent. I'm not going to put my child in danger, and it's only for a few minutes. I just have to run in and run back out. That's the belief. So what we have to do to shift that belief is to target the behavior we want, target the belief that it's only for a few minutes. And so then we craft a message, and the message might be like a public service announcement. Leaving your child alone in a hot car for only a few minutes can cause irreversible brain damage or death. When in doubt, get them out.
Right.
That's the slogan I came up with. When in doubt, get them out. I don't know if it's original, but it seemed to fit.
Right.
But it shows you how we dissect the behavior, the unwanted behavior. What's the belief that drives that behavior? And then how do we craft a message that specifically targets that belief and gets people to see and behave in the way that we want them to behave? So the key takeaway, and we can do this with coaching, we can do it with consulting, any type of a helping. I work with a lot of helping professionals. They're consultants or they're coaches. They're trying to create a result, or they're trying to create a transformation in people's lives. The key takeaway is we can shift beliefs and behaviors just by how we communicate with ourselves and with other people. That's how much power we have in our mouth. You know, the Bible says that life and death is in the power of the tongue, in the power of words. So regardless of your religious beliefs, it's a fact of life that what you say and how you say it can transform people's lives for better or for worse.
Right.
And we could give you examples from history of people who they mastered their message and they did evil. They did wrong with that.
Right.
And they caused death. In the same way, there are others who have mastered their message and they've created great transformation. So you have the power to transform people's lives for the better. And if you're in a helping profession, a coach, a consultant, you're able to create some kind of a transformation in people's lives, then I would say you have an ethical and a moral obligation to do that for as many people as you can. And you're able to do that when you have mastered your message. And this creates the whole concept, the moral power, the moral authority, the moral confidence of mindful marketing,
right.
Spiritual selling. So now we're trying to change the world. That's a radically different vision from just trying to sell products and services.
Right. Right. And, you know, it can be so frustrating. You know, I know maybe if a lot of my listeners have written books on subjects or are trying to speak about spiritual or personal growth things, it's easy to get frustrated and want to give up because you know that a product or a masterclass or a book you have has something in it that can help people, but it can be discouraging when you can't get those products or services into the hands of people you know who need them. And I love your message because it reminds us again and again to use ideas and as our touch point. So when we start to get down about it, just get deeper into our message. Master it more. Don't get frustrated because the thing isn't selling. Get invigorated to really get some new life into your message.
Yes. That money is a measurement of how well we are doing with our message.
Yeah.
So we're going to measure it in, and we're going to quantify it in terms of followers, in terms of dollars exchanged. But that is not what we need to focus on. It's like Halley's Comet. I remember when Halley's Comet was doing a flyby of Earth a few years ago. And you could actually stand outside and look at Halley's Comet with your naked eye. It was really amazing and extraordinary. But because of the way our eyes are put together, our vision, you could actually see the comet better if you didn't look right at it.
Right.
It's because we have more, I guess you call them cones and rods on the sides of our eyes that give us better peripheral vision at night than looking straight ahead. But so if you look straight ahead at the comet, it's not so easy to discern. But if you look a little bit to the side, you can actually see it very clearly, more brighter in your peripheral vision. And actually, military snipers use that same approach when they're trying to track a target at night. But the analogy means we can't look at money and at results and accurately measure the impact of our message. We have to look away to the real power, the real momentum, the real impact and influence that we're creating with our message. And if we do get frustrated, we don't give up. We just go back and we refine the message. Because once that message becomes part of you, you don't give it up. You just get better and better at articulating it, but you don't give up on it. I mentioned Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. earlier. That final message, when he stood before thousands of people in Washington, D.C., and says, "I have a dream." Well, that speech was not spur of the moment. It was not something that he just wrote that morning. The actual words to that speech had been delivered several times and in several different places as he tried out and he mastered his message and he tried it out in different environments and he tried different illustrations and different anecdotes and different ways of saying things until he had mastered that particular message. And then he was able to deliver it when it counted. And that's what we remember. But there's a lot of preparation as we master the message. But most importantly, he became the message.
Yes.
And that's the spiritual transformation that we have to make. And that's why a copywriter can't just write some copy for you. You have to master your message. You have to own it. And you have to become that message. And then you can move people to action.
You know, Ralph, that's so powerful because when we think about meditation or we think about mindfulness or we think about being a more patient person, whatever it is that we're pursuing in personal or spiritual growth, it's the same thing. You know, we can understand mindfulness intellectually by reading a few books. Easy, right? I mean, we all master concepts, you know, but when you become the embodiment of mindfulness, or when you become a more meditative person, that's really where the change begins to happen. And it's no different with messaging. Like you said, we can all understand our message intellectually. You know, I'm a person who likes to talk about healthy eating, but when we embody healthy eating and when we appear on a stage or at a group and we are healthy eating, that carries an energy with it. That means something. And what I hear you saying in marketing, because sometimes people have a negative view, I think, of marketing and selling, but it doesn't have to be about the selling. It's about showing up in an authentic way. And like you say, embodying your message. And then people want to be part of your message and they want your service or book because they know you embody that message. It's so powerful.
That's so very true. You know, to maximize your impact, it's not about creating a more persuasive marketing funnel.
Right.
You know, it's not about creating a better looking ad to run on Facebook. It's about creating a more inspiring message. And when you do that, when you've mastered your message and it inspires people, your marketing becomes very simple. You're never at a loss for words.
Right.
You always know what to say. And there's such confidence that comes as a result of that. I just feel that we should focus more on who we are becoming and who we are being in the world. And then what we say naturally lines up with that. We become more authentic when we do show up. And then the marketing is just very natural. It flows very effortlessly at that point.
Right. You know, what do you think are the biggest roadblocks for people? So if people are in the spiritual or personal growth space and they have a service or they want to coach around a particular issue, what are the roadblocks that you see with your clients that get in the way of them realizing this message embodiment?
Great question. You know, there's really there's several things. A couple spring to mind. And the first is, if I just got a great service or a great product, or I just want to help people, I just want to change the world, it speaks for itself.
Right.
And so I don't have to do any marketing or any selling. And that sounds really spiritual, but it's actually just a defense mechanism. It's an avoidance of reality. The truth is, no matter how brilliant you are and how gifted you are, if people don't know you exist, they cannot take advantage of the wonderful brilliance and the wonderful transformation that you're able to produce for them. So you still have to think about how you're going to get your message out into the world. So the real root problem of that, and we may try to spiritualize it, but the real reason is that we lack confidence. That's the number one thing that I see. And I interview a lot of people on my radio show, a lot of coaches and consultants. And it seems to be universal. We lack confidence because we haven't mastered our message. The biggest obstacle is the same obstacle that I had to overcome, that marketing is and sales is icky. It's beneath me. It's not something, it doesn't go with the spiritual calling that I have. And that's why I'm using these phrases, mindful marketing and spiritual selling. Let's connect these activities to a higher purpose that's going to change the world. I mean, if you had a cure for cancer, I mean, 100% cure for cancer, would you just sit back and say, you know, just let word of mouth take over? Or would you want to get that message out into the world and change it? The reason we're struggling is because we haven't made that big paradigm shift, that it's not about selling, it's about serving.
Yes, yes.
And love is so important. Falling in love with your prospects and serving them better than anyone else. But they don't give out awards for service. They give out awards for sales.
That is so, you know, and I've seen that in so many areas now, this idea of service selling. And ironically, I've seen it on social media. People put up an ad and they talk in a very pretty looking ad about service. So it's kind of this fine balance we have to walk between, what are the right colors? What are the right dimensions? What are the right sizes that I have to use? What's the right font? And then if we marry that, those best practices, with our own message, which is a best practice for our life, when those two things come together, we can, like you said, we can change the world, and we can use a medium that you said, like you said, a lot of people think is kind of icky. It's not. It's a medium. So if you can learn to use it and raise the vibration of that medium, you can change the world.
Well, it's a tool.
Yep.
And if you're going to impact people and touch them in a way that's going to transform their lives, you have to reach people with the tools that you have available.
Right.
And that brought me to another point that I really want to make clear that I think is a misconception. There really is no such thing as a thought leader. Mm-hmm. Just think about it. There's no such thing as a thought leader because no one can follow your thoughts. Right? I mean, they can't even read your thoughts unless they're psychic. They can't follow your thoughts. So what does this mean? Well, he's a thought leader. I hope you don't have that on your website somewhere, but that'd be that would feel like I'm picking on you, but no, yeah. we use this language. You know, well, he's a thought leader, but listen, no one can follow your thoughts. They can't even read your thoughts. If you want to be a leader and you want to gain followers, and by followers, I mean to get clients, to get customers, to get investors. See, it's not just about sales. It's selling ideas. It's not just selling prospects. Investors, partners,
right?
Affiliates, the media. You can't just think thoughts. No matter how wonderful the thoughts are, you have to express them. And it's in the expression of those thoughts that you become an actual leader, not just an imaginary leader, not just a thought leader, but someone who can actually create change in the world. To do that, you have to articulate a message. You have to take those thoughts, take that vision. And sometimes that's all you have to do is articulate it. I go back to Dr. King again. He didn't say, I have a plan, right? He didn't say, I have a program. He said, I have a dream. And he articulated that dream and he articulated that vision with passion.
Right.
And it created, it was just an earthquake of effect. He wasn't a thought leader. He was a true leader who had mastered his message. And then he created life with the words that he spoke. And I'm saying that power is present within every one of us. Each one who's listening to this message right now, that power is within you. You can do the same thing.
Okay, so then on that note, what's a tip or tool then that you can give us on our journeys of personal and spiritual growth as we seek to get that message out? How can we do that right when this show ends? What's a step we can take?
You know, it sounds counterintuitive. I'm not going to suggest that people take speech therapy or speaking classes.
Right.
What I'm going to suggest is, and what I'm going to give you is a very powerful gift, and it is the gift of ritual, the gift of ritual. Now, a ritual is just a simple series of actions that we take on a regular basis. You've got to do some inner work. You can't just stand up and then share your message.
Right.
And that's in the process that I take people through, it's a three-step process. Number one, find your voice. Number two, master your message. And number three, share it with the world. And what happens is people go straight to number three, sharing it with the world, right, running ads. They haven't mastered the message. They haven't found their voice. And so they look and sound like everybody else. You have really got to strip away all of that and really get to the core of who you are, because that's what your message will be based upon. And so my tip, my tool is to create a ritual that is going to build you up, is going to strengthen you from the inside out and give you the confidence, the spiritual, emotional, and mental clarity that you need to be able to be the change. I'm talking with my hands and hitting my microphone.
Good. It's passion.
To be the change that you seek, because you're not going to change the world just by talking about it. No matter how much you've mastered your message, you have to become that message. So it's a ritual. And the ritual is, I have a list of actions that I perform as part of my morning ritual. I also have an evening ritual, but it's things, whatever feeds you, whatever supports you wherever you are. For me, it's things like prayer, writing, deep breathing,
right,
even drinking water. Right. Or going outside for a brisk walk. Part of my morning ritual is, instead of writing things down in a gratitude journal, which is fine, I like to write one handwritten thank you card or one handwritten letter every day and mail it to someone. Wow. And so that ties into my ritual. Oh, I want to get out and go for a walk. Well, part of my ritual is, after I've written my thank you card, is I walked down the long path up to my road to stick that thank you card in the mailbox. And I do that every day. That's part of my morning ritual. It helps me to stay grounded. It helps me to stay connected with people. It helps me to realize that the world is bigger than just me, that there's other people in this world, and it's not just about me and my needs, but it's also expressing thanksgiving and gratitude to other people. So I would say to create your personal ritual and become a better version of who you are today, make a list of actions that support you. Try to arrange those actions so that one triggers another. Just like writing the thank you card automatically triggers my next action, which is to walk to the mailbox, which is quite a hike for me.
Right.
Write it down in ritual. Write it down in a narrative form so that you've got this in your mind. By narrative form, I mean not just a list of things to do. That's not inspiring, but write it out in a narrative form. For example, when I get up tomorrow morning, I will wash my face with a cool cloth and drink 8 ounces of water. Then I will sit at my desk, turn on my relaxation playlist, and write 1,000 words. Now, see, for me, that's relaxing. For some, it may not be. You take whatever. Some people would be terrified at the idea of trying to write 1,000 words. It energizes me. So you pick whatever supports you wherever you are. Write it down in narrative form. Visualize your ritual the night before. Imagine yourself going through and doing those actions. And then in the morning, actually do them. And individually, you know, these may seem like small things, washing my face with a cool cloth. But if left to chance, you may even forget to do them.
Right.
Right. So if we are intentional about what we are going to do today, and we begin with ourselves and grouping these small actions together, you get the advantage of momentum. Once I have taken care of myself, I am in a much better frame to serve and love and give and help other people.
Fantastic. And I love that idea of ritual, because it gives us meaning and it gives us direction, whether at the start of the day, in the middle of the day, or at the end of the day. So thank you so much for that, Ralph. And that brings us to the end of this episode of the Nobody Guide to Life. Ralph, thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for the platform. It's been a real treat to share these thoughts with you, and I hope that it inspires our listeners to master their message and change the world.
Well, I know it will, and I want to remind our listeners, the Nobody Guide to Life stands for the idea that everyone has a message, insight, a story, and that every story is worth telling. You don't have to be a world-famous actor or TV personality to have a platform. Start right now in your own life. How? By living your message, embodying your teachings, and setting a great example. And at the end of the day, the year, or a life, make sure that people remember not only the message, but the medium that that message came from, you. You can find Ralph's book, Irresistible Marketing, 4 Psychological Strategies for Getting People to Buy Without You Having to Sell Them, at ralphbrogdon.com/free. You can go there and get a free copy of the book and find out. I believe, Ralph, you have some classes coming and some teachings coming, correct?
Yes, it's a really exciting breakthrough for coaches, consultants, authors, speakers, all the people we've been talking about who want to change the world and may be brilliant at what they do, but they're intimidated about trying to communicate what they do to other people. It's called Master Your Message. I take them through the 3 rules of communication: have something worth saying, say it well, say it often, and teach you how to find your voice, master your message, and share it with the world.
I love it. RalphBrogdon.com/free. Go check that out. Ralph has a lot of really interesting and useful resources on his site. It's a great site. And that link will be in our show notes wherever you're listening, or at thenobodyguidetolife.com. And you can always check out more episodes at thenobodyguidetolife.com or on the Nobody Guide to Life YouTube channel. Reach out to us on Twitter and Facebook at Nobody's View, or on Instagram at J.A. Plosker, or join our Facebook community, Simple Spirituality. If you liked what you heard on this episode, please consider sharing it with someone you know, someone who has a powerful message just like you. Keep practicing and have a good week.